We would like to thank you for your faithful prayers and gifts down through the years. This program is listener supported, and we could not take the good news of the gospel to the world without your help.
I have discovered that to be sold out means that a certain person, place, or thing has once told allegiance and commitment and loyalty.
What are you sold out for? We can be sold out for many things and or people. In today's lesson, Dr. Williams teaches how important it is that as Christians that we are sold out for ministry.
Maybe, friends, you are sold out for what you lack in this life. Nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't control you. I discovered that to be sold out for ministry says I got to have a clear understanding of God's purpose for my life.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes begin at 9, and at 10 a.m. our morning worshiping experience proceeds. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Amen. We are, because people listen to us in the Bay Area and they're not here to get our announcements, but the late Mrs. Williams had a commitment for helping young people.
Right.
Several times I had to tell her some kind words because she spent more than we had helping young people. I wasn't against that. I have some struggles, still have them. I mean real struggles when I'm broke. I can't adjust. Somebody said, I'm happy when I'm broke. Stay by yourself, don't come near me. And so she talked about it before she found out she was ill. She's still doing it privately. I would like to, for you to give myself and some other people permission to have a scholarship for the almost kids. Now, if there's anybody ought to say that when we say almost, you ought to say amen. It's a very few of y'all who went to the top. You was almost, and then you finally got there. Amen. And so there would be a concert here on behalf of raising some funds. Now, last year, 2 years ago, when we had a concert here, I purchased 20 tickets, and plus, I gave some people some money to buy tickets. Now, it has nothing to do with money. It had nothing to do with the tickets. It had something to do with encouraging people who would like to come and couldn't. Amen. Then at the end of the year, I'm not telling you what I did. I just want you to know. I'm not telling you to do something I don't do. At the end of the year, I gave Leona a $1,000 check to go into the scholarship fund. Now, I'm not in school. I go to workshops. But as long as there's a child in this church that is in school, you can say what you want to say. Not only am I going to help them, but the church will help them. Amen. And the deacon said, amen. See, we got to overcome. I got mine and you get yours. No, you didn't. Somebody helped you. I don't care what you tell me. you stumble somewhere down the line. And Clark said, and so we need to get out of this business, you know, well, the parents might not know how to help them. Then we step in because God has opened our eyes. Amen. Before I reached 42 and was driving, I used to go to 2 to 3 schools every week to show up, help kids. I went to Kennedy High School some years ago, and on the campus, as I drove up, two girls was fighting. I jumped out of my car and stopped it and stopped them and wondered, what are you fighting for? And one of them was, you know, was real young and like a lot of us used to be silly, fighting because this girl was talking to her boyfriend. Now, the girls, you listen to me this morning, this might be your sermon. Girls, if you got to fight over a boy, you go to the river and dive in it and swim. When you get to fighting over him, he don't want you. The worst man I know, he wanted a nice lady. Don't y'all look at me like I'm lost. You know that's true. Men will stay with you for 3 years. When they get ready to get married, he'll find somebody he couldn't stay with. And some of you already know some friends like that. Amen. Now, after that, stand with me. If you would turn with me, and this is in the Bible, the book of Acts, chapter 20, and start at verse, my text is chapter 20, verse 24, but I want you to start at chapter 20, verse number 20. And then when you get to 24, we'll read that with some energy. That's the book of Acts, right after John. Can we have it? Now let's read the Bible like you scream on television when your team makes a point or touchdown. Let's begin. Verse number what?
20.
Let's begin it. Listen careful. Go ahead.
I finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received, Lord Jesus, testify the gospel of grace of God.
Today I want to talk about sold out for ministry.
All right.
Thank you very much. Sold out for ministry. But I do not consider my life or any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my what? And the ministry, which what? I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I want to correct something that you say a lot. It is incorrect. It is not biblical. And whatever man wrote that book, he lied. Every born-again believer, Joyce, every born-again musician, you listen, Floyd, every born-again musician is a minister. You who sit in the pew act like the world is lost on you. You are a minister. You witness with a mean face.
Tell the truth, Pastor. Tell it.
How can you criticize me as your pastor and you a minister? Are you doing your job? sold out for ministry. This is young people and young adults. Young people and young adults, you 21 years old today, 22 next week, 23 the following week. If you live, you're going to get old. And the way you look now, you're going to have to paint it up, wash it up, and dye it up. Because it's not going to be the same. So what you need to do, when I said this to you before, and some of you criticized me very highly, critically, I said, I knew when I was young, I'm talking about 12 and 13, I knew then I had to get married early. And you didn't say nothing.
Amen.
You trying to figure out the rest? No, you ask me and I'll tell you. When I lived in Chicago, a dentist's daughter, beautiful girl, had everything. Rich. This man had two offices. Dentist is working for him. She finished high school and she said to me, you live with your auntie. Why don't we share an apartment together? You pay half and I pay half. That sound good. And don't look at me. I thought about it. And don't look at me because some of you thought about it. And I said to her, no, I can't live with you.
That's right.
Because at midnight, you might get angry and tell me to get out. And if I pay half, I'm not going nowhere. Second, I did something. Give me that bottle of water, person. Second, I did something that I'm telling this to young people. Give me a bottle of that water. I went in there. I showed her a quart of milk. This is a quart of milk. I said, honey, if I own half of it, you can't complain when I want to play with the other half. I'm being real to you. Real. You can't tell me about what I can't do with the other half because I own half. Some of y'all been there and some of y'all done that.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
Church, listen carefully here today. Paul, this man that wrote this text, this man, people don't say much about this. This man was not a man that was ignorant in the world. He was well versed in the world, academically, in religion. He was one of the tops. And religion is slowly taking over our churches. Religion. You can be as religious as you want to, but that doesn't say nothing about you knowing Jesus.
Right, 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 right.
Amen. I went to a conference this week, one of the most top ones I'd ever been to in my life, and I've been to many of them, all races and all colors and whatever. This was the top because the whole thing dealt with the Holy Spirit. And the reason many of you can't stay in church as a young adult, as soon as you graduate from college, you can't stay in church, is because you haven't had no experience with the Holy Spirit while you was in college. That's some most of my high school kids, friends, is dead. But even after I left Mississippi, they had a number of them in Chicago. I stayed away from them. They had money. They had good liquor. They had parties. I went to Bible study on Wednesday and went back to my job after I went to Bible study. I went to church on Sunday morning. I went to church on Sunday evening. I was old-fashioned. This is what they said. You're old-fashioned, and you don't have to do that. We're in the city. Your parents doesn't live here. I said, but I'm not serving my parents. I'm going to church so that when I need something from God, he'll give it to me. If the church won't do it, I'm just being faithful to go there and worship him. Amen. I never forget one man said to me, he was very gifted in academics. He said to me, he said, Williams, you know, you make me nervous because you're always talking about church. I said, no, I'm talking about the headquarters of the church. And that headquarters is in heaven. And the reason that I wasn't in this church this week, where I was, I got a call yesterday. They want me to do something in Oregon. We like your attitude. I'm not having a good attitude for him. I'm having a good attitude for me. I don't like to be silly and stupid and crazy. I like to be like I'm going to get a job for the governor. Governor Brown said when I saw him a couple of months ago, he said, William, how have you been? I said, I'm waiting for an appointment. He laughed. Church, religion is not good for nobody.
Tell it.
It's not good. But Christianity is bread without any syrup. Or it's a biscuit without butter. Christianity. So Paul says, he says he was warned. Paul was warned. He had it all. And yet, friend, Paul called the elders of Ephesus together one last time as he was on his way to Jerusalem. And according to the verse 23, the Holy Spirit, this is what gets to me, the Holy Spirit had told him in city after city that jail and suffering lies ahead. Amen. When I came, I forgot to tell you, last Sunday at 12:15, I was a pastor of this church for 46 years. When I came to this church, there's two pastors that I know of. I heard it was more. Two pastors told Deacon Wright that it would make no sense to try to get this church to call me because I was not going to stay. Said that I was not used to problems. And I said, Deacon Wright, what did you say? He said, I don't want to tell you. But I didn't say what you think I said. He said, but he won't talk to me no more. Well, I said, what did you say to the other one? The other one said to him, Deacon Rice, Williams don't like to talk to people. So why was you wanting to be your pastor? And he got him straightened out. They both is dead. I hope they went to heaven. I don't know where they went. But I know they were, both of them had part of their lifestyle was lying. Preachers, one of the worst things can happen to you, you can be deceitful. Lying to folks trying to get over on God, it won't work. You can be butting up folks all you want to, but it won't work. I was raised to love people and God. I just don't like messy people. Let me say this on the air. I love everybody, the good ones, the bad ones, the low-down ones, the upside-down ones, and the Holy Ghost ones. I love them all. But I will never run with all of them. I can't do that. Listen to Paul. Listen at Paul. He says, after he called them together, verse 28, he had told them what the Holy Spirit had said about him, and he said to you. He says, with that being so, Paul uttered these words. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I'm sure this will have to be a two-part sermon. I said to you what I've said before, and I'm going to say it again. God would not be God. He can't, if he can't back up what he says, he's not God. If he cannot protect whom he calls, he is not all-seeing God. If I got to worry about being protected, if I got to worry about getting what I need, then I don't have the God that called me. Let me you missed that one. Let me give you another one. If I married to a woman, and it would be a woman, if I married to her and she can't take care of me and my needs, I don't need her. And I will have some needs if I was married to her. Amen. And you better say something.
Amen.
So I'm going to take care of her needs. I'm going to make sure she looks nice. I'm going to make sure she has some money in her purse. I'm going to make sure she wears some good earrings. Every now and then they shake. I'm going to make sure she drives some good wheels. So if I'm going to do all of that for you and make you happy, you're going to have me mad, angry. No, you're not. Amen. I was married 46 years, 5 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days when my wife died. I didn't have all those headaches. In fact, I didn't have any headaches. And the reason I didn't have headache, I wasn't following her, I was following Jesus. Amen. Marriage is what it says. Leave your parents and your friends and cleave to her. Your parents might not ever like your wife, men, or your women, your in-laws and your laws and whatever other thing you got might not ever like who you marry, but does he take care of you? Does he love you? Does he go on vacation with you? Can you spend some money when you want to? Can you have some friends outside of him? Can you be loving to other people? Can you smile and you see another man, women, men, can't you smile? And your wife won't let you smile at another woman. She don't need you. I don't want nobody but me. You might not want to talk about it, but I got my stuff together here. God saved us so he can help us. Sold out. Sold out, my brothers and sisters, for ministry. For ministry. Pastor William, I like to go to breakfast sometime, but you know, my wife always has something to say. I said, is that right? That's all I can say, because I don't live there. Friends, Paul says, it sounds like Paul is sold out for ministry, and I have discovered that to be sold out means that a certain person, place, or thing has once told allegiance and commitment and loyalty. Amen. I tolerate people sometimes, even work here. They don't think I know what's going on. I can read you before you even come in the door. God didn't just save me, he equipped me. Amen. He equipped me. I said he equipped me. And the reason many of you are not equipped, let me tell you something. The reason you are not equipped, you read the Bible, but you don't believe it. And some of you don't read it, you run through it. But when you get this Bible in you, and you in it, the devil in hell can't turn you around. You got to be careful in this life when things are going well for you. Don't you put your lips out and tell things are going well. The better things are going for you, the more you need to pray. Because the enemy is right around the corner going to try to mess it up. That's why I watch person, I watch what I watch. Some stuff on television I would never watch.
That's right.
I don't watch it.
That's right.
Some things they say in the news, I cut it off.
That's right.
I don't listen to some stuff. I don't watch some stuff. Right. You say, but I want to be enlightened. How are you going to be enlightened with the devil?
Right.
If you want to get to, you want to be enlightened. Uh-huh. Let me talk to Joyce. You want to be enlightened, Joyce. You read it says, let not your heart be troubled.
Right, right.
He that believes in God, believe also in me. Yeah. And in my Father's house are many mansions, and you're one of them.
Right, right.
That's the book.
Right.
Okay, let's move on. So Paul said, one can be sold out for certain sports. And some of y'all ought to say amen. Some can be sold out to a sports team. You could be a 49 faithful. And if that's you, you have my prayers. Somebody says, my friend, quit hating Pastor Williams because he talked against, what's that team in Los Angeles?
Lakers.
You know, what's your team, Aubrey? Lakers. Said, Pastor, said, I don't like for him to talk about them. God bless you. What you gonna do now? What's that guy's name that was the star of the team? What you gonna do now? He's not gonna be there. You know what's happening? Just like I tell you all the time, he's getting so he can't be there. He like my knee.
That's right.
You only can play so long.
That's right.
But when you're on God's team, you don't get started until you're 80. You get started when you're 80. Go down in Egypt and release my people at 80.
Right. Tell it, Pastor.
When you're on God's team.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's God's team. Okay, let's move on here today. I said again, friend, yes, I hear you say, I am with them through the ring years and the lean years. And you are sold out for the 49ers? You are? If that's you, I say, woo. You could be sold out for a cause. Save the whales, for an example, of the spotted owls. Campaigning has generated your allegiance where you are, ready to march to Washington and saying, we shall overcome. Quit singing, we shall overcome, and you're still doing dirty things.
All right, now.
If you're going to overcome, change. You can't keep doing the same thing and get some other results. I'm not talking against them, I'm talking about me now. They got a new set of clothes today, and the suits, coats is, you know, it almost to the waist. You know, the coats, the modern coats. And people say, when you going to get one? Never. If God had wanted me to show it all, he wouldn't have made no pants. I'm too tall to have those short coats on, Al. My Christianity teaches me what I should do, even if I don't do it, or what I shouldn't do. Amen. I see men wearing pants so tight he just took a pin in them, they'll burst. What is he trying to show? Amen. I don't care how tight his pants are, they won't excite Ephraim. I love to see a lady, you know. Hello, how you doing, Pastor? And then give me that smile. Even if she don't have but one tooth, smile. Wake up, church. It sounds like Paul is sold out for ministry. And I've discovered that to be sold out means that a certain person, place, thing has one's total allegiance. When you accept Christ, you must learn how to be sold out to the world. You're in the world, but not of the world. Church, one can be sold out, I repeat, to many things. Yes, I hear you, sir. I'm with my friends. Pastor, quit talking about the 40. I'm with them. That's fine. But that shouldn't be your leisure. I went to, before my late wife died, we went to visit some people when we was on the East Coast. And we got there that Wednesday, and they did everything. And so Saturday, the man said, now this is what we're going. We're going to breakfast today, and we're going to dinner tonight, and we're going to go visiting during the day, which was fine. Then he said something that rattled my brain. He said, tomorrow morning at 9:30, we're going to brunch for breakfast. Then he said, we get through breakfast, we're going to ride around and tour. And he says, I said, well, when are you going to add in church? And this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor William, you don't have to go to church tomorrow. You're on vacation. I wanted to say, I was nice because I was in his house. I said to him, I have to go. And you don't have to carry me. I'll call a cab. He said, no, then I'll take you. Now listen, church, carefully. Careful. Why would God send me across the country and pay my fare and give me strength and my health, and I'm going to lay him down on Sunday and pick him up on Monday? It won't happen. It just won't happen. And ever since then, he's been going. Your friends watch you, and then they take you down, and you go down with them. I don't have but one friend that can change me from serving in God's church. And his name is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Nobody. Yes, I hear you say, you are not me. That's right. You could be sold out for a cause. Save the whales, I told you, a spotted eye. You can be sold out with your car racing. You can be sold out thinking you somebody and you are no more than God made you. You can be sold out thinking you are up above everybody else. But you haven't met God. Amen. You can be sold out for the cause of Black Lives Matter. Where you stop city council meetings or destroy your own neighborhood through vandalism and looting. Maybe you are sold out for a person. You don't care what they have done, how bad they have acted, or how far they have fallen. You say they are, my friend, horses. If they never win a race, you're sold out. Amen. I know a lot of good men were sold out to somebody who wasn't going nowhere. I wish I could tell you how I feel it. I wish I could tell you. I drink a lot of water because I get thirsty. But when I drink so much water, I want some food. And if I'm looking at a sister because she's so fine, when that look goes down, and it will, what am I going to do then?
Right.
I went to bed last night, 25 minutes to 11, early. Nobody was in there with me, but the Holy Ghost was in me. That's another mistake we make as Christians. Quit asking, Spirit, come if you don't stay there long. Why are you telling him what to do? God made sure you couldn't do that, you Baptist people. He made sure you can't call him in and let him go when you get ready because he put him in you. And he is the one that has a residence. You don't have no control over that. I wish that you think about it. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And when you say, I'm going to give him or her a piece of my mind. Has nothing. You can do that. You're not full of the Holy Spirit. When you become full of the Holy Spirit, your cussing days is over. Your blessing days is on its way. You said, but Pastor, you used to cuss. I feel that cussing sometimes now. But I don't operate on my feelings. I operate it on my movement. He moves in you. No, don't go that way. Don't drive down that street. Don't talk to that person. Don't go nowhere with them. You follow me and I'll bless you. That's the Holy Spirit. Friends, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen. The people on that land next door told me don't ever call them again. And told me don't ever send no trustee because that land will never be sold to us. Now let me see, am I right? Will never be sold to us. On that land, we have a building on it. And it's named after Ephraim Williams, so who got it? We prayed 12. I want you to listen to me today to bless you. We prayed for 12 years. Many of you. I prayed day and night. I went over there. 12 years. 3 o'clock in the evening next door, I got a call from Oregon. Told me who he was. He said, we want to sell the land to you now because I'm retiring. I had a hip surgery. I can't do nothing. My sister's not able to come here, so we want to get it off our hand. We want to sell it to you. I said, when you're in Sacramento, you come by and we'll talk about it. He said, we got to have X number of dollars. I said, no way. No way. We'll give you this, period. He said, well, we can't let you have it. I said, well, you'll come back. All I can tell you, St. Paul owns it. I'm trying to convince you that I don't serve a God that may be. He is. He is. I keep repeating this to you. We're going to build those family houses. I don't care who cusses. I don't care who won't give a dime. Well, you won't give one? Stand up, brother. He'll give 10. Amen. We're getting money out of town. Don't belong to this church. Amen. And they're not black, but they're saved.
Amen. Amen.
Talking about black lives matters, white lives matters too. Amen. But long they're going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
In Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
Friends, maybe, friends, maybe. You are sold out for what you lack in this life. Nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't control you. Amen. I discovered that to be sold out for ministry says I got to have a clear understanding of God's purpose for my life. My God, yes, Angelo said that a purpose is having a clear sense of what God has called you to be. What is it? What have God called you to be? Mumbling and grumbling and complaining? No. He called you to be a witness unto him. Amen. Somebody broke in my house years ago on 11th Avenue. And when I got there, I still went across the street and told my neighbor, I said, they broke in my house. The door is still open. He said, don't go in. He said, wait just a minute. He went in the house, and he came back, and he put a jacket on. I didn't ask him what he went in there for. And I asked him, he said, you stay over here and let me go in. And when he came out, he showed me what that. He had 7 brothers. 7. And he said, why don't you keep this because it might come back. Friends, you don't have to clown. God is your source. Whatever you need, if you walk with him, live for him, he will supply. What is it that you have sold out to? What is it that you are really sold out to? All right, friends, it is a counting term where Paul said, I have taken account of things of my life and I am not moved.
Right.
What is it that moves you
right.
when God is trying to get you to move ahead?
Right.
What is it that moves you? I had a whole lot of things that was offered to me that moved me, but I know they wouldn't last. And if they did, I wouldn't last. I count myself to have what? Not have apprehended, but what? This one thing I do. And that is forget my mess behind and press forward for the future. Press. Stand up here, let me show you. Stand over there, both of y'all. When you're pressing, let me show you when you're pressing to face me. Don't move. When you're pressing, storms arise, but you're pressing. Hatred is coming after you, but you're pressing. People are calling you everything but a child of God, but you're pressing. And the more you press, the more the devil is going to try to stop you. And as you press toward the mark of the high calling in Lord Jesus, you press, but you can't get through. Keep on pressing. And then the enemy is going to try to block you, but keep on pressing.
Yes, sir.
Then after a while, the Holy Spirit would say, don't press no more.
Right.
Go around.
Right. All right. That's right.
And while they are trying to block me, the Holy Ghost is filling me.
Right. Yeah.
And I can stand here, peace like a river
yeah.
flows in my soul.
Right.
But you got to always press.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor. Yes, sir.
My brothers and sisters, thank you. God bless you. You have to look at it. What are you sold out for? What is it? Have you thought about it? Have you really thought about if you're sold out? Amen. Amen. He says, circumcise the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew concerning the law. I was a Pharisee concerning zeal. I persecuted the church, my friend, of God concerning righteousness, which is the law. You need to recognize, my friend, you need to recognize it was blameless, he said. But here's what he said. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Listen, church, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
My Lord, for whom I have suffered, here it is, the loss of all things, friends, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ.
Yes,
if it's anything I want more, that is I want more of the power of the Lord. I can't get more of Jesus. I can get more of his power. Hey, amen. God want to fill you with power. It's you won't let him. He can't take your will, but he will fill you. How many of you this morning, I did ask God when you woke up, Lord, I got a new day in front of me. Fill me with your spirit that I might be able to operate according to your plans and will. Have you asked him lately? You said, but well, you know, that's the church of God because I'm sick of that. The Holy Spirit was filling folks before the church of God's name ever come around.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me prove it. When Jesus, when they was in the upper room praying and fasting, there wasn't no church called the church of Church of God in Christ. And then all of a sudden, that's why I beg you to pray, all of a sudden they prayed so long, but open. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on them and went in them. And it was like a what? And like a rushing wind. They felt something, but they didn't see nothing. That's why I keep telling you, when the Holy Spirit is trying to fill you, you'll feel something, but you won't see nothing.
Teach, Pastor, teach.
Hey, amen.
Amen.
I'll admit to you today, I am now 43 years old. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know where I'm going to end up. But I know this. Wherever I go, He would be with me. Wherever I go. If you're not making no plans, you're not making no plans. You're 70 years old, you're not making no plans. Ask yourself, am I sold out? Because it won't be long, you won't be able to live in your house.
Come on, come on.
Somebody's going to take care of you.
Right.
And the better your spirit is,
right,
the better they'll be to you.
Right. Right.
I know.
Right.
I know you're a handsome Dawson, young, but you are not sliding up. You're sliding down.
Amen.
And so you need to take somebody with you. His name is Jesus. Yes, sir. Jesus, I'll bring you the other part later. It is easy for somebody who ain't got nothing or done anything to say, none of these things move me. It's easy. But Paul, my friend's resume says he had something. Listen, it is equivalent to having gone to the best schools of academics, Harvard, Stanford, or Berkeley, only to graduate, what's that word they use? M-A-G-N-A? And what's the other one? L-U what? Or C-U-M? L-A-U-D-A? And get hired by one of the Fortune 500 and move up to the carpet ladder as if there is no glass ceiling.
Tell it.
A good old boy trying to block you. A lot of these good old boys is around. Church, you get the house you wanted, a 4,000 square foot with two walk-in closets, a kitchen, the latest, my friends, countertop, marble all across it. You drive a car you wanted for years. You have a housekeeper. You have all of that stuff. But you might go to bed tonight, can't get up in the morning. Stuff has never healed nobody.
Tell it, Pastor, tell it.
Stuff has never made anybody happy 24 hours.
Tell it, man.
Stuff will weigh you down. Stuff would make you have enemy that don't even know you. But I got some stuff. Hallelujah to the King. My stuff comes by grace. I'm saved today because of grace. If I fall tonight, grace will pick me up.
Yes.
If I stumble this evening,
yes,
grace will protect me.
Yes.
If I need some food tonight, grace will see to it that I get some.
Grace.
The grace I have is not the stuff you can lose. It's the stuff I can't lose.
Yes.
Because the one gave it to me, he is alive. Let me close and I'll do the rest of this sermon another time. I'm so happy today, I mean happy, that I'm sold out for Jesus. Well, you said, but it's too much work to be sold out for Jesus. No, it's not too much work. It's openness. When I first was sold out, kept coming to California, I said to my late wife, now, I have said to God, whatever you want me to do, I'm open. But I'm not doing anything that's crooked. Amen. The first church that I was called to, three deacons and a trustee, sit in my living room until 1 o'clock in the morning, making deals. I listen, because I'm courtesy when you're in my home. When they got through, the trustee made a deal. When he got through, I said, well, sound good, but your deal won't last. I'm not looking for no church, and I'm not looking for no deal. I have an excellent job, buying stock, boss, get a raise twice a year. My family is not suffering. Why do I need some crooked deals? Crooked deals won't last. I said, but when the time comes, God will fix it. I got, when he left, I got on my knees and I, Lord, you heard those crooks in my house at midnight. Bless them that they won't have no accident on their way home. And they won't ever come back here again. Hallelujah to the King. So since that Paul says I'm sold out in the ministry, he then had to know he could depend on the one who saved him. You're not going to sell out what Paul had and don't have no help. Amen. When I was, how old are you? How old? 15. How old are you? 15. Stand over here. How old are you? 18. 18? You fall in that category. Stand over here. How old are you? 9. Well, you can come here. How old are you, brother? How old? I can't hear you. Stand right here. Give me your age. How old? Stand here. How old are you? Stand right here. How old are you? How old? 13. Church, I want to give you a demonstration that I've never done here, but it's real. Now, who's 13? How old are you, the youngest? And how old are you? How old? You're 9 years old. Now, church, listen carefully. And I want you to listen. Look at me. When I was 9 years old, nine, like you, I was on my knees praying to God. And let me give you what I'm telling you. Listen to me carefully. One of my prayers was, Lord, help me to never work outside. Are you listening? And the reason that I didn't want to work, the sun bothers me, that heat bothers me. Asking him, help me to be quiet in school because I want to learn. You got it? And you don't let nobody tell you you're too young. I started before I was 9. Yeah. Now let me go down this list. I know you don't need to tell me because I know you in high school. And part of your time, you're late going to class because you're watching the girls. And say amen to the truth. Now, those girls are not going nowhere. You go to class and get this straightened out. That's right. And then they'll come to you. You don't have to go to them. But study. Study. Study hard. Brother, keep your focus. You watch what you're doing in class. Watch your parents when they tell you something. You don't know nothing. I didn't know nothing when I was your age. But I listened. I learned something. I want to tell you something that you definitely don't want to do. In my neighborhood, they used to draw water. You ever heard that before? Draw water, you let the bucket down in the well. And then you have a thing like this. You turn it until you draw that bucket back up full of water. Then you put it. I used to fill barrels of water in the community for people. When I leave, I didn't have no more. When I leave, I don't have much, but here's 50 cents. Now you have to understand 50 cents was $2 a day. But I did something. I couldn't work, but I drawed water for the elderly. You can rake some leaves. I'll show you how to rake them. You say, but I don't like raking leaves. That isn't the issue. The issue is God will bless you with something. You don't have no money. You say, Daddy, they down the street want me to cut the lawn. Can I use your lawnmower? And go and cut it. When they give you a little change, put it in your pocket. Don't run to the store. You got it? And when you go to class, I don't care what you don't like, think about your future. God will bless you. Your gift. You heard this young boy. He swam. You said, well, I don't know about no praying. That's why you pray. When I was 14 years, I was on my knees day and night begging God to help me. Begging God. And I don't you do what I did. I had something in my pocket. I was begging God to help me to aim right. You don't need that. You know what that means? You don't need that. Don't put nothing in your pocket but your wallet and a handshaker. Brother, you're what?
18.
Now, you're 18. You really think you're grown. But not so. When I was 18 years old, I forgot to get in my first job. My auntie said, you can stay here free. Put 60% in the bank and spend 40%. I shouted. Because I never had it before. I shouted. Then when I got married, before I was 21, you listen to me careful. I had $4,300 in the bank in the savings, $2,300 in the checking, 37 brand new suits, brand new ties, and 20-something pair of shoes. All the suits was tailored. So when I wanted my wife to be at home, not to work for a year, to be with her husband. Don't try to get somebody now because they look good. Get this straight now. You would be blessed. Brother, I know you don't say much, and when people don't say much, you know they're thinking a lot. Don't. Only thing you think about now is following direction of your parents, studying your homework, and don't you ever miss a day reading a verse. You'd be surprised. It'll make you strong. It'll make you stand against stuff you really want to do, but it'll bless you. The reason so many Afro-American boys is messed up, they listen to the wrong, what is it? Voice. I went through your age. Amen. I ain't getting no record. I prayed all that. They laughed at me. My brothers laughed at me. My sister laughed at me. Two brothers laughed at more. They caught hell. Then they said, pray for me. Ethan, pray for me. I'm having a problem. They married the wrong woman. And there is a such thing as the wrong woman. Ask your daddy. How long he waited for your mother till he got the right person? Pray, I'm serious with you. And brother, what grade you in?
I'm a junior now.
You're a junior in high school.
Yes.
Masses of Afro-American children mess up. And 11th and 12th grade. Now remember now, you just getting started. Next year you'll be in the 12th grade. Only focus you should have is on God and your books. You know, you go to school, I see you know, you don't laugh totally, you half laugh. And you draw people to you because they think that's really cute. But only thing cute is you got a trained mind and a saved heart. God bless you. Thank you all very much. We love you. It is no secret what
God can do,
what he's done. He
bye.
this would happen. Why would he do that? What God? Will you come today and accept Christ as your personal Savior? It is no secret, He saved us. Will you come today? Will you come today? What? Oh, yes. What He's done for others. Oh, thank God He'll do. Will you come today? Will you come today? With arms wide open. Will you come today? Will you say yes to Him today? He's speaking to you. What? If you're here, you still have time to come. You still have time to come. While He speaks to you, you still have time.